also a reminder of who's in control of the country, who's in control of the planet and the universe. Whatever the outcome is, it's God's will. If you truly believe that God is in charge of the world and of the universe, then whoever is elected president, be it Joe Biden, whatever happens is what God wants to happen. We don't always understand what God's plan is, but you can rest assured he has one and he's executing it, and he will take care of his people. He always has and he always will. No matter what comes, God will take care of his people. But we, as God's people, need to understand a few things. I was reminded of part of Brother Gordon's sermon on being the church that people need, the very first one. He read from 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, where it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And you have to understand that we're in the last days. You know, we have been in the last days since Christ was here, since he returned to heaven. And the last days began then. You say, well, it's been 2,000 years. Well, we're not on, God's not on our timetable. He's on his, and he knows what he's doing. But we need to understand that we live in perilous times. God's people have always lived in perilous times, and some more perilous than others. But if you read at all or study at all about Judah and Israel in the time after Solomon was king, those were perilous times as well for God's people. And it's no different in this land today. There's nothing new under the sun, is what Ecclesiastes tells us. We people in this day and age are opposed to themselves. God has given, in this particular land and in the world, I believe that God has given people over to a reprobate mind, a useless mind, incapable of reasoning and clear thought, critical thinking. They can't do that anymore, I believe. And people make decisions that end up destroying themselves. They end up destroying themselves with those decisions. People oppose themselves. They don't know what's good for them. And unless God saves their soul and reveals himself to them, there's no hope for them. As far as America goes, I was reminded of, again, some of Brother Gordon's sermons where he preached about America is no longer what it once was. And these were preached 5 years ago. He preached those two sermons 5 years ago. It's hard to believe it's been 5 years since he preached those things. And America is much worse off than it was then. People are more divided than they've ever been before. There is no middle anymore. If you look at the percentages of the vote that was taken yesterday, it's, you know, 48-49% for Biden and 48-49% for Trump. And it's just a little tiny margin shifts it one way or the other. Probably less than, it's probably going to be much closer than the vote between Trump and Hillary was, as far as popular vote goes. There's no middle in politics anymore. You're either left or you're right. And I was talking with Brother Dennis beforehand, and you have the far left and you have the far right, but it's all shifting left. the whole thing is shifting left. The right is getting more, less conservative, and the left is getting more left. And as we go, in America, we live in a time where it's far removed from what it started out as. And you think back on the founding of this country, that the men that created the Constitution, and the men didn't create it, I believe God created it using those men, because I seriously doubt that any human being is smart enough to write a document like that on their own. I believe it was completely inspired by God to give God's people a place where they could worship Him openly and freely without persecution. But just like Israel and the Jewish people, God gave them a land where they could be in charge of themselves and worship God the way God had instructed them and the way God had planned for them, the way He had wanted them to. And they eventually moved away from God and wound up in captivity and were never a sovereign nation again. They've never been a sovereign nation again until 1950 something or other, when the Jews went back to Canaan and established the nation of Israel, which, by the way, is one of the signs that the final days of this world are drawing close. Humanism, the secular religion of humanism, being promoted in our public schools, we have an entire generation that has been indoctrinated. Two or more generations, actually, that have been indoctrinated fully with the Humanist Manifesto. Amen. And so is it any wonder when you remove God from the picture in the schools and in what people are taught, and you take the Humanist Manifesto and you use that as your yardstick of what's right and wrong, there is no measurement of anything anymore. Excuse me. There is no scale of what's right and wrong. It's just whatever somebody feels is right or whatever somebody feels is wrong. And you may feel something's right and I may feel it's wrong, and doesn't matter, you know. If I was a liberal and didn't secular and so on and so forth, you know, it's like Brother Gordon said, you know, what the Humanist Manifesto says about ethics is that, you know, your freedoms end where my feelings begin, and that's true when it comes to secularism and Humanist Manifesto. That's what people are being taught for. Since the 60s in the public schools. But even though we've seen all these changes, and if you can't see them, you're not looking for them. But there's a lot of changes that have taken place in the last 50 years. And as we get ever closer and closer to having God removed from society completely, we're still God's people. God is still in charge, and God will take care of His people. And we are to stay focused upon our job as God's people, which is preaching and teaching the Word of God. Go into all the world, like the Bible says, teaching and preaching the Word of God. But even though we clearly live in uncertain times, and like I said, there's always been uncertain times for mankind, But this particular time, many of us have never experienced anything like it. It's new to us, and it's unnerving to see what's going on out in the world today. You can't believe anything you hear in the news, because it's not news anymore. It's a narrative. The narrative. They're always talking about the narrative. Reporters, when they talk about the stories that they're reporting or the narratives that they're reporting on, they say, you know, whatever they're talking about, this or that, whatever it happens to be, does not fit the narrative. You know, the facts don't fit the narrative, is basically what they're saying. And so disbelief, disinformation in their reports and stuff. But we have to exercise our faith in God even more than we do today. And we need to guard against limiting our faith in God and limiting God in our head, in our thinking, and in our heart in particular. We have to be careful to not put limitations on God, not put limitations on what God can do and what we think he can do and what we think he can't do. There is nothing that God cannot do. And I don't understand how people think that God is not capable of doing something. Just because he doesn't do what we want him to doesn't mean that he can't do it. It's just not his will, is what that means. We believe in our heart that everything we've been taught about salvation and God saving us for eternity and taking us to heaven and Christ coming and the miracles that he did, and the things that we read in the Bible, and we say we believe those things, but believing them in your head versus believing them in your heart, big difference. Because it gives you, in my opinion, it gives you greater faith. If you truly believe that God said, let there be light, and there was. If God can create the universe, he can control anybody in this room, anybody on this planet. He can make come to pass anything he wants. And I don't understand why people don't have that kind of belief or that kind of faith in God. Because I think it's partly because we don't have a proper perspective about who God is and what God is capable of. We don't understand God. Humanistically, we're almost incapable of understanding God. And we tend to want to fit everything into our human logic, our reason, our thought process. We do that critical thinking is, you know, if I do this, then this will happen. But God, that thought process for us is complicated enough. But God is far beyond that. God's reasoning is not our reasoning. We think God's ways have to make sense to us, and they don't. What possible sense could Joe Biden being the president make to us? It's not at all, I believe, that most people in this room, I hope everybody in this room, did not want him to be president. But if God makes him president, it's God's will. He's got a plan. We don't understand it. That's all there is to it. God is an omnipotent being. What is omnipotent? The dictionary says it means having power or authority without limit, all powerful. When you apply that to God, that or becomes and. Having all power and authority without limit, all powerful. You have to grasp that thought in your head. God is all power, he has all power, and has all authority, unlimited. And if you truly believe God is omnipotent, why do we not apply that to our faith? Our faith is limitless because our faith is in God, and God is limitless, and he's all powerful. All things are possible with God. And in Matthew 17, in verse 20, well, back up to verse 18, it says, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out, cast out that demon out of that child? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. These are the apostles he was talking to that had performed or would go on to perform miracles of healing and so on and so forth. But in this particular instance, they couldn't do it. And Jesus says, it's because you didn't believe. In other words, you didn't have the faith to believe in your heart that when you cast out that demon, it was really going to leave. You went through the motions, but you didn't believe that it was going to happen. They didn't exercise their faith. They didn't believe. And he goes on to say, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible with you. And I brought this in a lesson many years ago, talked about how big a grain of mustard seed was. And for anybody that knows anything about shotgun shells, it's a mustard seed is about the size of a number 8 or number 9 shot that you would find in a shotgun shell. And that's about a 12th of an inch in diameter. That's pretty small. Yet, this very tiny seed can produce a tree that can become, 10 or more feet tall. That's a pretty, 10 feet tall, people say, oh, that is not a very big tree. That's a pretty big tree for a little tiny seed. You know, when you think of some of the, if you've ever planted a garden or anything, some of the seeds that you plant in the ground versus what you get back is tremendous difference. And what God says, that if you had just that little grain of faith, you could perform miracles that would boggle your mind. You could move mountains. Isaiah 55 and 9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's God telling us that right there. His methods and ways and what he has at his disposal is so much greater, so much greater. Think of that little grain of mustard seed and that 10-foot tree. That's the picture you have to put in your mind, is here's this little mustard seed and here's this big tree that came from it. And God's ability is the size of the tree versus the size of the seed above us, even higher than that. We can't comprehend that. It's critical to have the correct perception of God as being omnipotent, having power and authority without limit, that he's all-powerful. That's critical for God's people. Without this very basic, I don't even want to call it a belief, but without having that kind of faith, that kind of understanding of God, everything else becomes more difficult for us to accept. We read the stories in the Bible and, you know, people can't accept that God parted the Red Sea and the people went across on dry ground because it doesn't fit their head. There's got to be some kind of logical explanation, physical phenomenon that I can dream up in the way that happened. And when they reach that point, then they're satisfied that, okay, that's possible, I'll believe that. But that's not the way it works. It doesn't matter. I mean, there's a motion picture they made about the Jews crossing the Red Sea, and they showed how the wind came and blew all the water back, and the people saw it and just, you know, ran across, and you know, and a lot of people, oh, well, that must be how it happened. No, that's how man thinks it happened. God could have just as easily, like the old Cecil B. DeMille movie where they showed the trough, you know, going across the Red Sea. God could have easily done that. Whatever he did, however he did it, doesn't have to fit in our logic, in our thinking, in our way. And we need to understand that. We need to grab hold of that. Because once you grab hold of that, then you get a better understanding of what God is capable of, and then your faith grows. And you begin to realize that God can do things more than we ever imagined. We say we believe God, but we tend to demonstrate by our actions that we do not trust God. There's a lot of, and you know, I was one of them at one time that believed God Almighty not capable of doing any of the things that are shown in the Bible or that he wants us to do, how we should serve him, what we should do, what we should be about, what our business is as God's people. They think he's just helpless. He needs us to do something. He needs us to figure it out and apply human logic to it. And that's not the way God works. Poor God. A lot of people think there's a lot of people out in the world out there. I don't think so much people here, but I think a lot of people out in the world, they think, poor God, he just cannot direct me through prayer, give me faith and patience to do the things he would have me to do. Poor God can't protect his churches from the world. we think, we look at the world today and we think, well, it's never been this bad before and it's getting worse. And to that I say, oh, really? Ecclesiastes 9:1-9, I'm sorry, tells us that the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. So the thing that's going on, things that have happened will happen again. It's basically what that says. And the thing that's going on right now are things that are going to be done again. And then it goes on to say, there is no new thing under the sun. Genesis 6:5. Before the flood, God said, or he saw, it says in Genesis 6:5, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts, of his heart, was only evil continually. I can't imagine the world where in their heart, everybody in the world, in their heart, mankind, okay, where every imagination, everything they think about has the purpose of doing something evil. Let's try to imagine that. I can't even imagine that. But that's what we're headed for. That's what this world is headed for. But we have this assurance in Psalms 46, 10 and 11, verses 10 and 11. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. There's great comfort in those verses. That's a promise that God will take care of us, no matter how bad it gets, and it's going to get like Genesis 6:5 says, before Christ comes back. We may be here, we may not be, but that's where this world is headed. And you can rest assured, as long as God has people in this earth, that he will be our refuge. I take great comfort in that. It doesn't matter what Joe Biden and the Democrats and the liberals do. If they take over the government, they take over the government. We may never have another conservative president or Congress or Senate ever. It doesn't matter. It's all part of God's plan. But God's going to take care of us. God's going to take care of his people. Rest assured in that. I'm finished. Like to add.